Hey guys, this episode is brought to you by Tristan Walker and our great friends over at Bevel, the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse curly hair and sensitive skin. So make sure you go to getbevel.com and use code THEREAD, that's THEREAD, to get 20% off your first month. That's getbevel.com. Check them out. Get your face and stuff together and let's move on.
Hey y'all, this episode of The Read was also brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the easiest way to create a beautiful website, blog, or online store for you and your ideas. Squarespace is super awesome and we use it at thisistheread.com. You can try them today by entering offer code READ at checkout to get 10% off. That's squarespace.com and offer code READ at checkout to get 10% off. Squarespace, build it beautiful. And now, let's get the show started.
All right, we are back for another week of this shit.
Yes, we are. I am Beyonce's wig crit manager.
And I am Beyonce's shoes.
And this is The Read. Did you see her?
Who did it?
Okay.
So,
all right.
Here we are again.
Another week of The Read.
How was Texas?
It was glorious. We ate all the fried things. We had Shipley's and Straits and Breakfast Club. And it was just, we soaked up the essence of Beyonce. And of course, we had a good time at Ariel's wedding, and I brought you back a praline from the reception. So,
oh, that's nice.
Yes, I'll keep that in my icebox for you till you get ready to have it, but we had a good time. How are you feeling?
Congrats, Ariel. That wedding looked very...
my nigga.
Opulent.
It was opulent
is the word
as
that I
fuck.
Would use, yes. It was, I was trying wealthy. To find like a rip, but opulent fits.
It was lavish as hell.
Lavish is another one.
It was a six-tier wedding cake. My nigga, six tiers?
What?
It was a six-tier wedding cake.
Of course it was.
It was just, it was grand.
So yeah, here we are. So Black Excellence this week is, I'm going to give it to a young 10-year-old. A lot of you linked me to this story online, so thank you for that. By the name of Olivia Allen. She's from Kentucky. I want to say Louisville because, you know, my tab is just being a hater today. Okay. And so, you know, who knows? She might be from Mars. She's from Louisville, Kentucky, or lives in Louisville, Kentucky. And she is a 10-year-old philanthropist, having already held a toy drive and collecting over 100 toys for Corsair charities. I may have said that wrong. She's had food drives for underprivileged kids. And now she's making headlines for what she calls the I Can Be Girls Confidence Conference, which was August 22nd. And about 50 girls from ages 8 to 12 and their parents came to the conference. They had keynote speakers, Barbara Sexton Smith and Ashley D. Miller. The mayor came out and spoke.
Damn.
And so, you know, everybody gave her ribbons and things of that nature for gathering these young girls around and saying, you know, we're awesome, we're beautiful, you know, trying to build self-esteem up and things of that nature. So, Huffington Post has the story. I think a couple of other people have covered it as well. She's so, so, so cute and very loving. Just has a very great spirit. And I'm sure in a matter of years, she's going to be richer than all of us.
I mean, to only be 10 and already organizing conferences to help build up like young Black girls, that is dope as hell. Congratulations.
Right. Like, just because she wants to.
She has a big heart. Like, she's thinking of the greater good already. So shout out to her and her mama.
So, this week's Hot Topics.
Yes. Funness.
What is... Oh, God. Where do you even start? Okay, so let's start with the ex and now current housefly of Atlanta, Sheree Whitfield. So, we've talked about this on the show. Sheree has left her pile of popsicle sticks in the sky. And has decided to come back to Bravo for another season of Real Housewives, apparently.
Well, I mean, it's not like she don't need to, because where is the money coming from, girls?
Certainly I'll tell you where it's coming from. A YouTuber by the name of Justin J, who's relatively popular and things of that nature on the tube, he was on a couple of blogs after he posted this Instagram video. This past weekend was Pride.
It was.
Right. Okay, so this makes all the sense in the world now. So I guess, you know, everybody was at Piedmont Park doing their typical Pride Atlanta thing.
Yeah.
Like, Sheree was out there for whatever reason, you know, trying to be seen.
Because that's where all her fans
beyond,
are.
I don't know. Straight out the end. I don't know. I don't know where she's... I don't know what she's trying to do.
Trying to make it on World Star.
Yeah, or be on the YBF or whatever.
Something.
And so Justin J posted this video on Instagram saying that Shrek was at the park charging fans. I'm going to use a different word. Charging people, humans, $5 American to take selfies with her.
Okay. Well,
on their phones. Right. I love that he pointed out on their phones. So,
okay.
What?
Girl, ma'am, Sheree, who told you that this, now that I know that it happened like at Pride, there's some context for it. She wasn't just like randomly somewhere, you know, taking pictures, but still, who is paying $5
so for a picture? So she said, you know what? The park is going to be popping.
Let me go ahead and make my gas money for this week.
Let me go over there and be the East List celebrity that I am.
Right.
And see if some people... Because essentially, that to me is panhandling.
It is. I mean, the only difference is that you're using your face to make the money, but it is the same damn... She might as well go on the train and do the same damn thing.
Right.
And it would be considered like the exact same activity. Girl, don't nobody care about you. Who was really just like... Was there a line for Sheree?
Okay. You know she had one of those little cubes in her purse that you put on your iPhone. You could swipe a debit card.
You know, oh, does she like the little square payment thing?
$5 to take a picture with you for what, Shrey?
Oh, I hate to think that anybody actually paid that money. But knowing how some of y'all worship these reality stars just for being on TV, I know she probably made at least $20.
Well, I'm sure a lot of those queens probably felt in their heart. You know, they probably had a charitable spirit. You know, a lot of them probably got a few back shots that weekend, and so they were in a giving mood.
Okay.
They, you know, were in a taking mood, so then you give. And so everybody knows that Chateau Sheree is literally holding on by Gorilla Glue.
I don't think it's even
so why not all donate?
It's not even all the way up. Like, I'm pretty sure.
I'm not doing that.
Still just a lot covered in, like, Georgia clay. It ain't a damn thing going on over there, Sheree. But you know what? I'm not mad at you for getting back on this TV. You're stupid ass... And your ridiculous decision making and your dumbass arguments and all this shit. I can't wait to see your dumbass back on TV again. So thank you for that.
Sheree posted a comment on the gram saying most charge fees, honey.
Most
Next time.
Whom? Most of whom? Most what?
I don't know a single other one.
What noun are you putting there?
I have no idea what she's talking about.
Most washed up ass bitches who used to be on the show.
Next time it will be $10. Hashtag I work hard. Hashtag.
Now what?
Hashtag who, she by Sheree.
Okay. Has that ever made it to stores? Like, that's not in Kmart. That's not on QVC.
No, I think it's in.
Show me a label with she by Sheree on it.
I think she by. Somebody carries she by
No, Sheree. They don't. Girl. Mm-mm. No, they don't. They
Maybe
should.
Like the US one flea market or like.
All right. All right.
Not strawberry. White people go there. Maybe like a...
I could see it in flea markets, though. That's one spot.
City Trends.
If you ever did see it Well, I was going to say Rainbow, but only in the hood. Like, not the whitewash Rainbows.
I could see it in Rainbow.
Yeah.
I could see it in the hood Rainbows.
But it's not actually anywhere because don't nobody give a fuck about Sheree, so.
So, I mean... Whatever works.
Good luck to you, girl. I don't know. I don't.
Sheree Whitfield looks like, you remember the vultures at the end of Jungle Book that sang, we're your friends.
I do, actually.
We're your friends. We're your friends to the bitter end. The bitter end.
Come on, harmony.
When you're...
You better sing.
I can do the whole song. It's such a great song.
I just pulled up a new picture, like a recent photo of her, and I don't know why.
She still looks like she should be circling above.
She does.
Like a dead antelope.
Did that round gay man with the heels stop doing her hair or something? Because
Lawrence
these, yeah.
or... Which is one of the fashion queens.
The one who had something to, well, actually.
Something to say about natural hair?
Yes, the one who had something to say about natural hair like
yeah,
a long ass time
think,
ago.
I don't know.
At least our hair was looking better then. These wigs now are terrible. And you bitches who think you can just part your hair and put some concealer down and then put a lace front right behind that, you hoes need to stop. We can see it.
See, you're the one. You are the reason that I know this all.
Okay, I'm sorry, but that is bullshit.
Meek Mill is still very uncomfortable with the idea of Drake. He was performing at the Fool's Gold Day Off concert in Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
And
he was like the headliner, right?
And someone in the crowd had like this meme-ass photo of Drake's head that they were holding up as he's performing. And so then he cuts the music to turn to that person and say something to the effect of, I'm not no fucking dweeb. You can't pick on me. Put it up again, nigga. This, oh, that, and girl. Third. All of that. Meek Mill is very, very impulsive.
He is. He makes decisions without thinking them through. Like getting on Twitter and this shit right here. He just doesn't consider the consequences.
You just have to, like, take a view from the six, girl.
Why don't you just accept the fact that you took a big ass L, and as a result, you probably gonna be taking a few L's for the next few months, and just keep it going. Like,
just let them get, just.
You were humiliated, my nigga. You need to understand this. I don't know if you got a bunch of yes men in your corner and Nikki sucking your dick every other hour to keep you in a good mood, but like, you took a big ass.
I followed her on Instagram over some shit like that.
I never could follow her on Instagram. It was always too much.
I worked my way through it. She's one of those girls, and I've said this a million times, who posts every selfie that they take.
Oh, God.
Instead of picking the best one. She's like, I look good in all this
shit.
All
my selfies look good.
And she posts
right.
18 of them. Literally, she'll be like in the backseat of the limo, and it'll be one of like the right side of her face, then the left side of her face, then dead on, then one with like a wink, and then one with a kissy face. It's like, bitch, we know what you look like. You don't have to do 18 of them.
Right.
But then she posted one.
But the barbs were like every single one.
I mean, why not? And you know, I dealt with it. But the damn deal breaker for me was when she posted some video of like, she was in bed with me and he was like shirtless sleep. And she was, I guess she was like on all fours over his back and was twerking in a G-string.
Oh, girl. Oh, and he like woke up or was looking
like
back at her or
something. Yeah, he
like
woke up and some shit like that. And I
saw
like,
that one. That one made it to Tumblr, I think. I saw that video and I was just like, girl, what are you doing?
I was like, you know what, girl? This is the end.
You do what you have to do. Nikki is really trying to save face.
And it won't be hard to say goodbye to yesterday.
It won't. If you, okay, so you're just going to turn this into a Boyz II Men thing. I mean, but nobody, I don't really believe that Nikki and Meek are going to stay together. Like, I think she's hanging in there because people will think at this point, if she leaves him, it's because of Drake. You have to give it some time.
Well, shouldn't it be? Because like,
if I was Nikki, I would have left that nigga right after he got done tweeting because.
But then you're not a ride or die bitch.
And I'll be that. You damn right. I ride or die for me, my kids, my nephew, like my family. Like, I ride or die.
Tiny.
Like, I'm not riding or dying for no damn nigga. You out your mind. I'll pick me.
So, you know, good luck with that. I do think that Meek might be all right, though, in the long run. If, as long as he can just continue to be quiet, you know, and finish up the tour. And
the tour ain't over? Fuck me.
Maybe. I don't know. Whatever. I don't care.
You don't
but the
give
point
a shit.
Is, you know, make some appearances at Wingstop with Rick Ross. You know, just be quiet for a little bit. Just a little tiny bit. Just duck back underneath the radar and then come screaming back into the hearts of street niggas in the like spring.
Exactly. I was gonna say all he has to do is take the fall and winter off and chill the fuck out somewhere, let niggas forget, and then come back next like April or May with something for the summer and just be ready. Like,
yeah.
But you need to sit your ass down somewhere real quick, bro, or develop a thicker skin, because it's going to be a while before niggas stop reminding you about
that. And this is all your fault.
You getting bodied by a singing nigga. Like, I would literally hum that at Meek Mill every time I saw him. And I know there are millions of others who feel the same way. Like, people are going to clown you for this. So, sorry, bro.
But not sorry.
I mean, right. Because like you said, you did do it to yourself.
So, speaking of Atlanta Gay Pride, there was this story that Christopher Brown was supposed to be performing at Atlanta Gay Pride this past weekend for, I think, Trax Girls. I don't know much about Trax besides the fact that they're, like, the big gay party scene in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've got, like, regular Trax, and then they've got Trax Girls for the girls like you, and then they've got, like... Bulldogs. I don't know how it works.
I think Trax Girls was the one I went to. Were you there that year when we saw lesbians fighting and one of them slammed the other one's skull into the concrete?
No, but damn, I wish I was.
Right? I love a good lesbian fight. These two studs was going at it.
I have seen some good lesbian fights, though.
I love fights, though. I run
Me
the fights.
Too. I mean,
I just beat his ass. I'm right there in the front.
I really. You know, who
I
does?
Enjoy it.
I mean, listen, who doesn't?
Until people start picking up like assorted weapons. Then it gets to me too much.
Because sometimes it's necessary.
But just a regular old fist fight, sometimes it's just cathartic to see somebody get their ass beat.
Sure.
Okay.
It's
just me.
Speaking of which, Chris Brown was, you know, like I said, supposed to be there and things of that nature. And the supposed to be like 4,000, 40,000, some in the thousands of all of these lesbians from across the world. They were coming to, you know, be loyal, whatever. I don't give a fuck. And it says here that Brown was set to introduce singer Teyana Taylor at the event, which personally is great to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have to say why. I don't need to get into details. I just love it. Of course, Chris was not there. And they, I guess one of the organizers put out this story that he took the retainer fee and he knew damn well that there were going to be gay men present, because the story is that he didn't want to go because gay guys were going to be there in Atlanta.
But it's pride.
In Atlanta. It could have been shame. It doesn't matter what fucking day of the week it is. It's Atlanta, Georgia.
That's true. It could have been the middle of March and it would be the same gay niggas. But like, how could you not know that you were being booked for this? Like,
the air in Atlanta is gay.
You mad? And honestly,
the wind be like, like it's like... Like if you really listen to it.
Is the wind sassy now, my nigga?
It is.
Okay. If Chris Brown is that worried about being around gay men, then why is he going anywhere? There are gay men in, like...
Because this is bullshit.
Every city where Chris Brown is, like, welcome to perform and will sell tickets is full of gay men. So
this
I don't know.
This story is garbage.
It has
you,
to
I
be.
Don't... Because, A, you can say a whole lot.
You can.
About this nigga right here.
You can.
But one thing I don't know that I can say just yet is that he's that type of homophobe, because I've seen, first of all, Chris Brown has a plethora of homosexual fans. Like, just a gang of them.
Yeah.
Still to this day, they're at his concerts. He had a concert in Atlanta that same weekend. You know, so there were undoubtedly a bunch of gay niggas there, and I've seen him take loads of photos with gay male fans, with trans fans, all kinds of things. Yeah. And and I believe that his, like, assistant is gay. His stylist is gay. He got gay dancers, all kinds of shit. I don't think that he's uncomfortable with the presence of gay men. It seems more so like these niggas knew that Chris Brown was going to be there that weekend, and they put his motherfucking face on the flyer knowing damn well he wasn't coming.
See,
and booked all, got a whole bunch of people
tickets.
To come out.
Yeah.
And now they're making up this story about how he ain't show up, whatever, because it's very easy to make Chris Brown look like the bad guy, because he
and that's a believable story. Like, well,
not to me,
not
for that excuse. They should have made some other shit up. Like,
if you don't,
but
if you don't know anything about Chris Brown and his feelings on gay people, then you would hear that story and think, huh, Chris Brown is always in some fuck shit. That don't sound like that crazy to me. But like you said,
but you also have to keep in mind that Chris Brown is an adult with a brain, and Atlanta, Georgia, and gay like, even if you didn't know that Chris Brown has been around gay men before, mm-hmm. he'd have to be an outstanding dumbass to be like, oh wait, so you mean gay niggas gonna be there? No. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
You right about that, but it would not be the first time Chris Brown didn't make sense. I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt, just because, like you said, he's taking photos with gay fans and appears to work with gay people and all this, so I'm gonna assume that, you know, this is just some shit niggas did to sell tickets and get people to come out. But it didn't sound that crazy to me when I first heard.
And you
story.
Also have to keep in mind that Chris Brown is never afraid to be publicly dumb.
That's true.
You know, like, he will follow Carucci to her car and look at her like, I will bite your shoulder off, and like all kinds of shit with the cameras right there. He doesn't give a fuck. Like, he doesn't ever hide his nuttiness.
Not
so,
even a little bit. So yeah. Maybe he would have just been on Twitter like, you damn right, I canceled.
But he hopped on Twitter and was like, girl, there was no damn shit. Ain't nobody confirmed me for nothing.
Oh,
I have
well.
No problem with the LGBT community. I support y'all. I wasn't going to that shit in the first place.
See, Chris Brown is in enough shit to where y'all don't need to make shit up and make him look worse. Like, isn't
right.
it bad enough for him? Don't make
it
worse.
I'd be over and over again, I try to, like, give him the benefit of the doubt, or trying, like, halfway be in his little corner, because he is talented and crazy. But then I know, like, ever since the Rihanna thing, people have been piling bullshit on him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I try and be fair, and then he'll do something crazy, like cuss out Tamar and call her a man or whatever the fuck. Or I don't think he ever did that. Let me stop. But you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
So
I get it.
Like, for instance, so Carucci.
Right on into it.
First of all, Carucci is, I guess, going to be on Catfish. I don't know if they're still
doing
that.
Oh, she's going to be the guest host?
I'm guessing that's what it is, because she has posted, like, the both she and Neve have been in like a ton of photos and videos this past weekend together.
That must be
one in a car, and then like she had a photo with her stomach out that said like food baby, and then there was like another photo with it was just
I hate when skinny girls do that. Stop that, girl. Bitch, you're no food baby. It ain't even no food bump.
So that was odd, and they like left the strip club. He like kissed her on the cheek and all of these things. I'm going to assume that she is gonna be one of those hosts.
Must
or
be
guest
hosting.
People or whatever.
I refuse to believe somebody thought that they were dating Karrueche on the internet, and so Karrueche is showing up to be like, no, it's not me. That just can't be.
I'm sure someone somewhere thought that they were dating Karrueche at some point because of some lie.
I mean, but...
Or a catfish.
Okay. Well, perhaps. Anyway.
Someone thought they were dating Bow Wow on that show.
But someone also
received... If you will lie to people in this millennium about Bow Wow...
But that stuff was kind of fine, though. And she sent that bitch $10,000. Now, I don't understand why you thought it was Bow Wow, but $10,000 is a lot of money to get from somebody.
That's how you should have known it wasn't.
Because Bow Wow wouldn't have never sent your ass that money, or I mean,
Bow Wow sees $10,000. Best believe he needs to keep it.
That stud was okay. See, that was rude.
No, it was not. It was fact.
Okay. Well, that stud was still a little bit fine, but you know, obviously crazy.
Anyway, so the game, the rapper, game.
I had to think
or
about
the
it.
Ruined show or any of those things.
All right,
Jaceon. Taylor.
Whatever it is. The nigga who stay getting with 17, 18-year-old girls, even though he's knocking on 40. But cool. Anyway.
What?
The game is always with a young girl. Like a girl who just turned 18 or is like a fresh 17 years old. Always.
I never knew nothing about that. Wasn't the woman that he was engaged to and they had like a show together, wasn't she like... much older than him?
I think maybe after that, because all I've seen from the game, like on the blogs and Instagram and Baller Alert and all that shit over the past 8 months or so, has been him laid up with these girls who look like they are probably still in high school or just got done yesterday. So
probably because he was dating his auntie for so damn long.
So you just stay with an old bitch for so long, you got to go in the opposite direction.
I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I don't know. All I know is that She's Got Game is a guilty pleasure of mine.
You like it?
So and so.
Oh my God, I cannot watch it.
It is so good.
Oh my God.
It's giving me Flavor of Love. I just wish that somebody, like, I just wish they were just a little more homely and like...
Oh, all the girls are really, are pretty.
All of the girls are relatively attractive.
They are, especially for a reality TV show.
Whereas Flav had Hottie. And named
and she was
her
a,
Hottie.
And she was a genuine contender. Like, she participated. She... made out with him.
It's like, Flavor and Goldie. Like,
I love
they
Goldie.
Were either like, oh, who did it?
Goldie
they were
me.
Either like crazy looking or they just look like normal average girls like
yeah,
Goldie did.
Right.
And Hoops. So.
Hoops, Lord. That Jesus. Tale. That tragedy.
Oh, yeah. But She's Got Game is great. I think the reason I like it so much is because one of the girls on there who I really wanted to win is Jamaican. And she's
oh,
beautiful.
Yeah. That Jamaican girl is gorgeous.
And
what, she Miss Jamaica or something?
I don't know.
I think
I
she
think
was.
So.
Yeah, the first episode. Did you watch the first episode? The
I
pilot?
I don't remember it.
Yeah. Well, remember when they all had their celebrity pimp come introduce them? And
oh, yeah. That one was boring.
Yeah. That one. Well, and see, that was when I decided I wasn't going to look at it no more because everybody sounded like a total dumbass. Like, everything that came out of their mouths contradicted what they had just said, and everybody just sounded really fucking stupid. And I did
you
not think I
couldn't have expected more.
I did, though. Like, not that dumb. Like, not to where it was just like, okay, all right, I can't. I just did not feel
anyway,
like I could
the
watch
Jamaican girl
show.
Slays. And I know that, you know, they're surely not going to stay together if she wins or if she does. I don't really give a fuck. All I know is that I live for her because she's Jamaican. She's fine and she's real as fuck. And I feel like she can fight. And he should pick her because although she'll probably try to kill him at some point, that's how you prove love.
No, it's absolutely not. But
yes,
she
that's
is.
How you know somebody truly loves you. If you don't try to take that person's life, or at least consider
maybe
it.
If you don't ever feel like you want to take that person's life, then you are never really in love with them. Not that you actually, you know, attempted to do it, because that sounds like a little bit over the line.
Look, sometimes the point has to get across somehow.
I mean, that's true. Sometimes you have to let a nigga know, but not necessarily resorting to violence. No,
anyway,
fine. She is gorgeous, though, so, like you said. Like, she's another level of pretty.
Apparently, the game only follows Carucci on Instagram now, and he liked 8 of her photos back to back. Not sure where that came from or why.
What?
It ended up on the Shade Room, and Chris Brown left a comment saying something like, somebody's got an album to promote or some shit. I don't know.
By liking Carucci's pictures?
I don't know what that means.
Okay.
And then Chris Brown's friend and game got into this whole, like, street gang Twitter,
no
Instagram back and forth.
These niggas are beefing on social media over Carucci.
Yes, but like in a Straight Outta Compton style.
Okay. All right. So,
for the new age.
So what happened here?
So Christopher's friend who is on Instagram, his name's Wax Star.
Okay.
Not sure why. But he every time, I think, I don't know if it's just him, but I'm familiar with this name. And every single time somebody like likes Carucci's picture or makes her their WCW or whatever, I don't know if it's always him, but one of Chris Brown's friends always posts some shit like an armory of guns or like
what?
A giant machete or something like another one of them pictures, bitch. It's like, what?
Why are y'all doing
this? So nobody can like this bitch. So only women are allowed to like Carucci's photos.
Right. There's no such thing as a man allowed to like her. And y'all are going to do what? Fight or kill
and
a nigga behind
fully this? Fully homosexual men.
Okay.
Probably, and they probably can only be
right,
bottoms.
Right. Right. Like.
So what is Carucci supposed to do just now? Like, should she just die? Or like, what is it that Chris Brown.
See,
what is it that you
that's
want
actually
from
really,
her?
That's actually really fucking creepy, though. Like, for them, for Chris's friends to be acting like that after Chris and Carucci
she
broke
wasn't even
up.
Your girlfriend.
Right. So what is you niggas going so. Even if she was your girlfriend, it would still be creepy because damn, nigga, get over it and leave her ass alone.
Right. It's one thing when Chris does it, and he does it a lot.
And he
but
needs to chill
the
fuck out.
But his friends do it, too. Like, y'all aren't together anymore. You will surely find another girl somewhere, sometime, somehow.
You didn't even
will
have
be
to look.
Very,
I'm sure
very
you've
nice
already had one.
And very, very beautiful. Yeah, I'm sure you are deep sea diving in bitches right now. 20,000 leagues under the puss. And you are telling, and niggas can't even like Carucci's pictures, man. Stop. Come on. Like, she's gonna move on and you
right.
should move on too. And it's not fair to terrorize her or any guy that likes her photos. It's like, it's ridiculous and it's childish. And every single one of these niggas has kids.
Everybody's
all of them. The only one, to my knowledge, who is not a parent is Carucci. Game got kids. Chris got kids. Chris friend got kids. All of y'all have kids. There's no point in y'all talking about shooting each other and fighting each other and knocking each other out over a girl that is no longer with Chris because of Chris's mistakes. Grow up.
Right.
Be parents and take care of that.
Not to mention, Chris got a lot of nerve acting like this behind a girl that he had blatantly cheated on so many times that the rest of the world knew about it. Like, my nigga, you left her on Christmas to go lay up with Rihanna.
Not lay up. It wasn't even like he checked into, you know, a nice hotel and they did their things behind closed
not
doors.
Not even lay up.
Open-mouthed guffaws at the basketball game.
Right.
Floor
having
seats,
a good time.
While that bitch was at the
on
house.
Christmas. While
what?
Carucci is flipping through the channels and lands on ABC and goes, is that my nigga? With Rihanna, you had a whole ass baby on her ass, and we found out before she did.
And we didn't even talk. We didn't even talk about royalty.
Oh, and you got the nerve to
leave
still
her alone.
Leave that bitch alone. You deserve to be single, Chris. You deserve to have Carucci never fucking speak to you again. She deserves to go on with her life and find a nigga who will treat her right, or at least better than what you did. And that is just, come on, like goddamn, let her live her life.
His friend did post a meme that I didn't see it, but they say that the meme said never gonna get it. And that reminds me of In Vogue, which that part of that
that's
song
awfully
always
sassy.
Makes me funny. So I mean, makes me funny. That part always makes me laugh for some reason. Never gonna get it. Never gonna get it. Never gonna get it. Never gonna get it. And it's useful for so many things. So,
it is.
A lot of these responses from Chris and his friends, while petty and immature, are hilarious. Like Go Home Roger.
A lot of petty immature things are.
I mean,
funny as hell. So. That doesn't change the fact that all y'all some fuck niggas who need to grow the hell up and log off and go take care of your fucking kids somewhere.
Okay. You want to talk about Caitlyn Jenner being homophobic?
Oh, that's my read this week. Oh,
okay. Well, we're done.
Okay. Well, shout out to those people who made the news this week.
And we will be right back. Hey, guys. This episode is being brought to you by Squarespace. Building a website can be tough, and even if you do know your way around coding, creating something that looks good and works well is time-consuming and really just annoying. So, whether it's for a business website, a portfolio, if you have a restaurant, if you sell dresses and shoes on Instagram, in this day and age, you probably need someplace online to hold all of those things. So, you need to go to Squarespace.com. Squarespace provides simple, powerful, and beautiful websites that look professionally designed regardless of your skill level. You don't need to know anything about coding. It's really, really easy to use, and it has intuitive and easy-to-use tools to create your website with. It all has state of the art technology powering the website to ensure security and stability so no haters can try and hack in or, you know, Mr. Robot your life. And you can trust in Squarespace for your website needs when millions of people and some of the most respected brands in the world trust in them too. We use Squarespace to power our website. This is theread.com. So check them out at squarespace.com. Use code READ to get 10% off your first purchase. So go over there and start your free trial today. They're the shiat. And let's get back to the show. We're back, and it's time for listener letters.
Yes, it is. Send your questions to asktheread@gmail.com. Our first question this week comes from Courtney, who says, I'm 23 years old, and I'm 8 months pregnant. I'm in a 2-year relationship with my 26-year-old boyfriend, and I am so in love with him. On paper, his life isn't ideal because currently he has no home or car and has 2 sons. His sons live with their mother, but he sees them as much as he can and has always taken great care of them. But this question pertains to my mother. Although I know my boyfriend is amazing, my mom doesn't think so.
You didn't say shit about him. That sounds great. Yeah. So
she despises him for no real reason. And before she met him, she hated him.
He got 2 kids. He ain't got no goddamn. Okay.
When we first started dating, we were coworkers, and my mom didn't like the idea of me dating someone from my job. But I looked past her animosity and continued. The first time he came over to the house to meet her, he brought her favorite movie and ice cream and even helped her fix the sump pump under our house. She thanked him, of course, but after that, she just started talking trash about him and continues to do so to this day. In the span of my relationship, my mother has said terrible things about my boyfriend. She's kicked me out for seeing him. She threatened to kick me out of the house for siding with him. And recently, she even got a peace order against him, which legally means he can no longer come to the house. My mother has no reason to feel threatened by my boyfriend because he has never said anything even remotely threatening to her. He only comes to the house to see me and barely says anything to her aside from hi and bye. My baby shower was last week, and my boyfriend wasn't even allowed simply because she did not want him there. As you can probably guess, my relationship with my mother is strained. I've done all I can to mend the situation, but nothing works. I'm too tired and too pregnant to keep trying. My question is, how do I mend the relationship between my mother, my boyfriend, and myself? I love my mother, but I don't really like her at the moment. At the rate she's going, she's pushing me further and further away from her. I want her to be a part of her grandchild's life, but not when she's acting like this, and certainly not when she shuns the person I love.
Well, get out of her house.
Listen, Courtney, I wasn't going to give it to you that raw, but that's really it, sis. If you have a problem with your mama's rules and your mama's attitude and who your mama wants in her property and not, then you need to
go
get
live
out
with
of
him.
Her house.
Right. Oh, wait.
Right. Except he don't have no house. So who does he live with?
And like, you're how old?
23.
And she's how old?
Out of 26. Okay. So, and they've been together for the past 2 years. She's now 8 months pregnant, which means she's going to give birth any day. Soon. Right. Here in the next few weeks.
Your mama definitely overhates him. I mean,
she overhates him, but I understand why.
Yeah, I had to use it as well. It's very nice that he went out to go get her, you know, chocolate chip, whatever, rain, whatever yeah. The fuck. That's very nice and help out around the house. But mothers tend to champion for people they know or they feel in their hearts are right for their kids. If she don't feel like, this is just like Paula J. Parker.
You ain't shit.
And her mama. Except Hit Force is shit.
No, right. Like,
but
it,
yeah.
It is kind of like, well, yeah. We
if your mom don't feel like, you know, he can provide for you, and obviously he can't, so...
I'm sure that's, you know, a big part of her problem.
She's doing a lot, though.
Right, like, yeah, but you're pregnant by somebody that cannot financially take care of the child, which, I mean, love is great. And, of course, him being there, especially with a newborn, especially with a newborn, having the daddy there would be, is incredibly helpful. But kids are fucking expensive. And your mama sees what this really is, which is an additional expense for her. And of course, she's angry that your baby daddy slash boyfriend is not in a position to help take care of you and this child, because he just isn't. He doesn't have a house or a vehicle. And it sounds like you live somewhere where those would be essential things, like to life. So,
no matter where you have a baby, you're going to need a house and a goddamn vehicle.
I understand why your mama is mad, girl. I really do. I see why she's
pissed. I understand why she's frustrated as well. But if I had to go here based on the things that you've told me, I 1,000% will understand why your mama don't like him. Now, your mama talking about peace orders and shit, something that can't come to the house.
She was, your mom was petty
so
for that.
Petty.
She called the police, went down to the police station, like, can I get a restraining order?
He could at least have come to the fucking baby shower for his baby.
Like, I mean, but if it was at her house and she didn't want him at her house,
she could have at least a baby shower.
I'm not saying your mama's not being petty. I'm saying I understand.
But in the same token, girl, if she didn't want him at the house, have the baby shower at a park or something. Get a hall or something. But you know what I'm saying?
It's hard to tell a grown woman what she can or cannot do or how she should act in the house that she pays for and the bills that she pays for you and the bills she will be paying for your child. Like, it's very hard to then turn around and be
after she paid all the bills for you when you were a child.
Right. Like, oh, mama, I know I'm an adult and, you know, and I'm pregnant, so I'm getting ready to have to take responsibility of another person's life. But clearly you need her, and if that means you have to, you know, compromise on some things you really want, like laying up with your boyfriend and watching Netflix, then girl,
y'all need to get together and come up with a plan on how y'all can get a place together or whatever, and a car or whatever, and do that.
Right. If he has a job and he's staying somewhere where he is helping pay rent or I don't know, something, like, maybe y'all should be saving up and trying to get down some deposits and shit so y'all can move together and take care of your baby as a unit. Like, maybe y'all need to be working towards that together. But this just sounds like, honestly, a typical mama being like a mama. And now she ain't necessarily right for it. But what you really gonna do? Talk to her greasy in her own house? Like, okay, girl. All right. Good luck to you.
I mean, when you have that baby, you gonna learn.
It's going to get very real for you real quick.
It's cute now because, you know, the baby, the shower and gifts, and everybody's excited and big bump and baby, oh, so happy.
Yeah,
when that motherfucker get here and don't give a fuck about your sleep or your aching back or whatever the hell else.
Girl, when that baby decides,
you're going to want to roll over and pass that motherfucker to the daddy, and where he going to be.
When that baby is 7 weeks old and decides it's cute to just stay up all night,
you're going to want your baby to, you're going to want your baby's father to run out and go get you some Bluebell or something like that. And he can't do that. But he's going to catch the bus at 3 o'clock in the morning when you want some ice cream and the baby won't shut up.
Girl, I think you need to take your mama's attitude and everything with a grain of salt and just try to deal with it until you can get your shit together and move out, which is honestly the same advice I would give somebody who wasn't pregnant. It's just kind of like, you're really in a position where I don't see how you can argue with her. Like, you need as much stability in your life as possible right now, because you're about to go through some major shit. And girl, I mean, your mama,
and I can't imagine that you really think that your child's father doesn't have a home or car or what have you, and he's just kind and sweet, and love is going to be enough for this to be situated. Like, regardless of all of those things, you as a mom are going to have to say, okay, how am I going to get up out of my mama's house?
Yeah.
And how is he going to get a place so that we can be together and be a family? I'm not even saying that you need to break up with him since you love him so much and you say he's sweet. I don't know him. You do.
Right.
But you can't argue with your mama in her house about this nigga that she don't like because he don't have a house or a car.
You
and he
really
already
just
has
can't.
Two kids that ain't yours.
You really just cannot, girl.
Sorry, nah, bro.
Nah, not with all this. So good luck to you and the conversation with your mama. Hope it goes well. Hope y'all manage to coexist. And good luck to you with all the rest, because, you know, God bless. Let's move on. Our next question is from KK, and it says, if you had to live, this is how she signed it.
Sure.
If you have to live the rest of your life with only one musical artist catalog, who would it be?
Let me think about it. Fuck out of here. What are you talking about?
Would it really be Beyonce?
Bitch, who else would it be? Are you kidding me?
Well, I mean, an entire catalog, though. There are some artists who have made some incredibly timeless music. Like, I love Beyonce, obviously. Like, obviously. But I don't even think Beyonce's answer would be Beyonce.
Why would Beyonce's answer be Beyonce? Beyonce could just sing to her damn self. What are you talking about?
What the fuck would Beyonce sing to herself?
Why would Beyonce choose Beyonce, girl?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think it would be Beyonce, though. I would really have to think about that
Beyonce one. Has a very, very large catalog of music as she continues to prove to people when she goes on world tours with old ass music that you've heard. When she does, you know, a random spot at a festival just to remind the girls, like, she's got a very large catalog of music. And if you include Destiny's Child as well, I'm set. Like, I don't really even feel like, and the remixes, you know, like, the Bootylicious remix with Miss. Oh, come on. It would either be Beyonce, Missy Elliott, maybe Bob Marley, maybe Azealia Banks. No, Azealia Banks' catalog is real, real small.
For the rest of your life. My first thought was Michael Jackson, honestly. Just because I grew up a Michael Jackson stan. I've only been a Beyonce stan, you know, for the last 10 years or so. But, like, Michael Jackson's music is, like, super important to me. Like, a whole lot of memories attached to that. And he's just, you know, legendary, obviously. So maybe Michael Jackson, maybe Bill Withers, who has a bunch of, like, he wrote, like, classic shit, like, amazing shit that niggas are still sampling today.
Who else?
I'm just thinking of shit like that.
Karen Carshear.
Who? Okay.
Charlotte Caesar.
I'm not saying I wouldn't say Beyonce. I'm just not saying she would automatically be my first choice. Maybe Whitney. Maybe Mariah. Oh, Mariah has
Whitney
some good shit.
Whitney would be a good one.
Mariah has some good shit,
Whitney
too.
And Mariah. This is not even a... I would still choose Beyonce. I would choose Beyonce or some of the other people that I named.
Okay.
I'll just take my iPad.
Yeah.
iPod.
All right.
What's the next question?
Okay. Yes, let's move on. Our last question comes from Carnithia, which is a fake name. And
you don't know that.
Well, it's a name I just made up.
Oh, okay.
And it says...
But you don't know that.
What is your point, bro?
Carnithia is somebody's name. I know it.
I mean, I'm sure it is. However, this person requested to be anonymous, and I just made that up. I'm a 21-year-old girl currently attending university. I'm an African who's been raised in England, and with that, it means certain ideals come with home life. I know my location has affected how I've turned out as an individual, and I have an understanding of my culture and British culture, but that has also led to me butting heads with my mother recently. I love her, but some of the stuff she says is quite hurtful and has a tendency to be a bit bougie. I recently got my septum pierced, and instantly she told me about how I'm limiting my job opportunities and I'm never going to find a husband, and people are going to talk about me and talk to her about me, how I'm being rebellious, etc.
I don't know about that. You'll probably find a husband, but...
I shaved my hair, and due to the way I occasionally dress, she asked me why I wants to be a boy and needs to know if I'm a lesbian, and I said if I was, you would know, and she's so worried about what people have to say about how I look. She's also Catholic, so she has some very strong opinions that I don't agree with, so that doesn't help when we're around certain groups of people. I get where she's coming from, but this is becoming too much for me. How would you talk to your mother respectfully about how she speaks to
y'all? Are writing in all these letters about how your mamas are mamas.
Yeah, it's a mother day.
Your mothers are... So you got a septum piercing, and your mama doesn't like it. And your mother is religious, and so she has views that clash with yours.
But how do you talk to your mama about the fact that some of the shit she says is, like, genuinely hurtful or ignorant or something? Like, I don't think that's really any different from somebody who's, like, pro-gay marriage, you know, having to talk to their homophobic-ass parents in the middle of Kansas about why, like... They have no reason to still be hateful.
I don't know your mama. So I only know how much... I mean, I don't know how much you can get away with when you're speaking to her. I mean, you can just go the basic route of saying, look, you say these things and they're very hurtful. I don't like them. They make me feel a way about myself. Or, you know, I just don't like the energy that you give to me or my mom. And it makes me feel bad and things like that. And see where it goes with that. You should start, I think, if you're going to speak to your parents, try and start from the respectful, compassionate, I'm hurt place and see where that gets you. Because parents, ultimately, they want to see most parents want to see their kids happy and not hurt. So if you are showing her, like, this is hurtful to me, then if after that she's just kind of like, oh, I don't give a fuck, take that shit out your goddamn nose, then I'd cuss her out.
See, that makes me think about how...
If I didn't live with her.
My mama was like, she would kind of like be like that sometimes too. Like, she would say things about me that she knew were fucked up or like I wouldn't like them. But it was like, you know, what am I really going to do? Argue with my mama? Or she would like pick on me for being fat or whatever. Like, stuff like that that hurts, I think, more than parents think it does. Because something like this, I'm looking at this like, okay, girl, it's a septum piercing. Like, you know, she'll get over it.
And all I can think of right now is Omarion's baby mama with that huge ass
Cheerios that she had, that, that honeycomb
she has.
That she had in her nose. Like, it's, and I don't mind that, septum right. piercings. I think that they're cute, but that shit was huge. Anyway.
I don't like her jewelry in particular, but like, sometimes it's just like, you know, you want to be able to express to your parents in a respectful way because you know not to come to them crazy, but like, you know, what you are saying is genuinely hurting my feelings. Now, whether she feels like, you know, you have a reason for it or not, I guess is a different conversation. And you know your mama, like Kid Fury said, better than we would. So you know better how to gauge that. But I think just kind of approaching her with like he said, you know, from a place of hurt, but then also like, I don't want to feel like this way at you. I don't want to be angry with you. Like, I don't want to feel like I can't talk to you. Parents always want to feel like their kids will come to them if something is really wrong. But nope. if you are putting your child in a position to feel hurt by you or like they can't come to you, then when some shit really does go crazy and they need you, you might not be the first place they turn. So, like, I think it's just really about, you know, trying to keep the relationship between y'all as healthy as possible. But yeah.
And your mama is your mama, and she's like, this is a completely different era. She probably has no idea why you have this shit in your nose or why you think that shit is cute. She probably has no idea why you would want to cut your hair off. She probably just doesn't get it. This is a completely different era, different styles, different things are considered fashionable and all that stuff that she is just gonna go clear over her head. And one day you're gonna have kids and they're gonna be doing and wearing shit that you don't get, and you're gonna feel a way about it too. So I guess you should just say to her, like, look, I don't like this. It makes me, you know, it hurts my feelings, and I wish you would be a little bit more open-minded about it. And then after that, if I'm speaking for myself,
yeah.
After that, if she still was not respectful of it, I probably would let her have it. Mm-hmm. But my mama, like, my mother would say slick little things like that, like, that were veiled as, like, jokes when I was a kid, and I would roll my eyes, and then she would know that I didn't like it, and she would stop. She never, like, really, her mama, though, and you better take it as a joke, too, bitch, because she
don't get in your feelings.
Yeah, don't get in your goddamn feelings.
Oh, my God,
feelings.
My granddaddy was like that. He would clown you, and then if you got hurt, he would be like,
he would be so mad, you don't know, right?
So you can't take jokes.
So
you don't laugh? So you just sensitive.
So you just never.
So we just can't say nothing to you.
Like, oh, wow. So hey, everybody, calm down. Let's not joke.
Why old niggas mean like that?
Like, grandma, I'm 4.
Lucky, I still have feelings. I haven't learned how to tuck them in yet. All right. Well, good luck to you. If you have a question, send it to ask3@gmail.com, and we'll be right back.
This episode is also being brought to you by Audible. Listen, if you love books, if you love to read, but you may not have that much time to read them, audible.com is the perfect place with the perfect solution. You can get audiobooks and listen to the books you've been meaning to read on the go, at the gym, on the train, plane, maybe, wherever you need. And audible.com provides over 180,000 audio programs.
That's true. They've got so many different titles to choose from in so many different genres. They've got books like Game of Thrones by George R.R. Martin and Fahrenheit 451 by Ray Bradbury. Unlike a streaming or rental service, with Audible, you actually own your books, and they have free apps for the iPhone, Android, and Windows phones, so you can access your books anytime. They have Whisper Sync technology, which lets you bounce back and forth between the audiobook and the ebook without losing your place, easy chapter navigation, annotated bookmarks, and if you don't like what you choose, Audible has a great listen guarantee, which means you can exchange any book you aren't happy with for another title anytime and no questions asked. So go to audiblepodcast.com/read for a free 30-day trial and a free audiobook. We know you guys are going to love it. And now let's move on.
This episode is also being brought to you by Bevel and Tristan Walker and all of those great shavy folks. Bevel is the first and only shaving system for men with coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. It's clinically proven to reduce and prevent razor bumps. 4 out of 5 men reported reduced razor bumps, discoloration, and irritation. I would be one of those 4, because if there's one thing I hate, it is a razor bump, and I was struggling to find a razor that would help me keep my skin together and not looking like a crunch bar, and this is the one that does it, using a single blade that cuts right above the skin to prevent irritation.
Yes, it does. Again, Bevel gives a really great shave. It was created by Tristan Walker, who saw a void in the health and beauty market. His goal is to make health and beauty simple for people of color. Like Kifiri said, it's the first and only shaving system for men with coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. And you can start shaving smarter today at GetBevel.com and get 20% off your first month's membership by entering promo code TheRead at checkout. That's GetBevel.com, and use promo code TheRead for 20% off your first month. It's time to get a smarter and sexier shave with Bevel and the Reed. And now let's finish the show.
So we're back, and it's time for the read.
It is time for the reads this week. You want me to go first?
Sure.
Okay. So Ellen DeGeneres went on SiriusXM to talk to Howard Stern and talked about some stuff like why doing American Idol was a mistake, which I think you could probably guess without even listening, and talked about having Caitlyn Jenner on the show.
American Idol.
Remember when Ellen was an American Idol judge? Or, yeah, wasn't it? One of those ridiculous shows for like one season. It was
really?
Trash. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was American Idol that Ellen was on. But she talked about how Caitlyn Jenner was on her show, which aired on Tuesday, and how Caitlyn is still kind of prejudiced towards gay people. Now, if you missed the episode of Ellen, Caitlyn went on and said that initially when the issue of gay marriage came out like 15, 20 years ago, that she was against it. She called herself a traditionalist and said tradition is her thing and it's always been a man and a woman and she just doesn't quite get it. And so she got on Ellen's couch and said, quote, I think like a lot of people on this issue, I have really changed my thinking here too. I don't ever want to stand in front of anybody's happiness. That's not my job, okay? If that word marriage is really, really that important to you, I can go with it. End quote. So Ellen and a whole lot of other people took offense to this because it kind of felt like Caitlyn was still holding back really on truly supporting gay marriage. How it was kind of like, well, girl, if the word marriage means that much to you fags, then fine, you can have it. Like, fine. That's just it. Okay, girl. Fine. Y'all got it. It's time. It's the law of the land. It's just where the world is going. So fine. Like, kind of like we give up. Not really. I see how my previous way of thinking was really fucked up and discriminatory. Not, I apologize for my bullshit point of view and the fact that I used my position of power to oppress people who I ended up having more in common with any damn way. Not a sense of remorse, but just, oh, well, you know, you bitches have worn us down, so fine, you can fucking have it. Caitlyn is just like a lot of other white Republicans who decide that once something applies to them, then the rules have changed and it's different now and the perspective can be taken differently. You are admitting that you are an open homophobe all throughout these years, the 70s, 80s, and 90s, when according to the documentaries we've seen you put out on television, were the same decades that you were coming to terms with the fact that you were trans and starting to identify as trans and taking medication and doing shit like that because you knew then that something wasn't all the way gravy with your ass. So even then, when you were struggling with yourself and knowing that there was something going on with you that you needed to reconcile, you still had the audacity to be homophobic and carry that homophobia through with you all these years. And now that you've come out and you're a trans lady, which is a great thing, and it's all this visibility and people do need to work on being less transphobic, all of this is true. And yes, people should use your correct pronouns, and it brings a lot of visibility to an issue that definitely needs the spotlight. But now that it's you, everybody is supposed to act right. Now that it's you, everybody is supposed to have the correct opinion. Everybody's supposed to be progressive. When it wasn't you, it was fine. When LGBT marriage didn't have anything to do with you personally, when being trans didn't have anything to do with you publicly, then it didn't matter how you shat on or discriminated against other people, bitch. You don't get to come up. No, you actually do get to come up because you're a privileged ass white lady who used to be a privileged ass white man and you still have them same fuck ass points of view. And really, can't nobody take your money or your whiteness away from you. So I'm pretty sure you'll get away with whatever bullshit you want to get away with. But it's fucked up. And this is why people are always getting your ass together behind shit, because you don't seem to understand that you're one of us now. You don't seem to, like, you're trans and you identify and you came out, but you don't really get it with the rest of us. And shitting on gay people and being like, oh, well, I mean, gay marriage is just kind of whatever. I mean, like, girl, I guess, you know, the statute of limitation of being mad about it has run out. Instead of coming out and being like, I'm sorry that I was a really bigoted fuckhead. And I'm sorry that I donated money and voted for people who have taken your rights away from you. And I'm sorry that I have actively done shit to disenfranchise black trans youth. I'm sorry that my actions and the way I spent my money fucked y'all over. Instead of coming out and saying some shit like that, you want to make it just like, oh, well, okay. I mean, if marriage is that big of a deal to you, fuck you, bitch. I was never, see, when Caitlyn came out, it was yes, and the photos, and bitch, you fine, and bitch, yes, stunt, all this, yes. But I said on Twitter then, it's only so much standing I can do for a rich white Republican. It's only so much. And that's it, girl. Like, yes, you look good. excuse me, you look good. Go off and live your life. You deserve to be in peace without anybody attacking your ass. But bitch, fuck you.
Okay.
And that's my read.
I wanted to mention when we were talking, I mean, earlier, that like, I don't care to demonize Caitlyn Jenner over this. I just don't really even care. Like, I don't give a shit about that whole entire family. I'm very, you know, glad that she could live her life the way that she wants to live her life publicly. And all of that is great. And she does look beautiful. But yes, we acknowledge that as a rich white Republican, she's only a matter of time before she gonna say something that is going to offend us.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured it was going to be Black Lives Matter, but this is even funnier. It's Speaking funny of. In a way, because it's like, although your homosexuality, I mean, your sexuality and your gender don't mix. So it's not that you, I mean, you can be trans and also not support gay marriage, I guess, in a sense, but one would think that you would, seeing as how we are lumped into the same community.
Right. It makes less sense and that you don't.
Yeah, it makes almost no sense that you don't. And I do feel like her saying, you know, now I feel like, you know, if the word is that important to you. And like Ellen tried to explain to her, like, it is that important to us because marriage is a thing. And we want equality. So yeah, it's not just the like, why do you get to be like, oh, I'm married, and if it means that much to you? Yes, because we want equal rights. That's what it's about, and you should know that more than anybody. But then also I saw a clip of her on the show with the IMK show with Jenny Boylan.
Mm-hmm.
And she said something to the effects of like, I want it would be really attractive to me if a man treated me or loved me as if like as like a normal woman, something like that. And she said, Jenny was like, what does that mean? And I guess she was trying to say that she would want to be in a relationship that wasn't like, oh, this is the trans woman and her bae, like just like a normal, average, traditional, like
a
type
non-trans
of thing.
Woman.
And she said, Jenny was like, listen, A, you can be a woman, but a man doesn't make you a woman. A woman can make you a
woman,
you know what
man.
I'm saying? And she said, you've done all of this work to identify as a girl. Don't be a stupid one. Be a smart one.
Come on.
That's what she said to her. So when I watched it, I was just kind of like, okay, well, you hear you're dealing with somebody who has basically just wants to be who she is, and at the same time now feels this pressure to fight all of these rights or whatever. When it's like, Caitlyn, you could have just came out as trans and then minded your business if you wanted to. You know, like, you are the one who is taking it upon yourself to fight this fight. And that is, I'm not taking that away from her because it's important. Even if that bitch, God forbid, falls off a bridge tomorrow or, you know, says some other really ridiculous, offensive shit, I think sometimes we have to take the lesson for what it is. Like, Caitlyn aside, the conversation of trans men and women is important and it needs to be had. So in my eyes, I always look to Caitlyn as, yes, I'm proud of you, girl, for coming out. And yes, you do look great. Nice shoes, whatever the fuck. But she is to me like a catalyst for the conversation that we have to have mm-hmm. as like a, not even just a country, like a planet, you know? And so she probably feels like, oh, I got to do all of these things. That bitch was bold for that, you know, but I'm not surprised, you know, it is what it is. I don't even care. Look at your daughter. Please go take care of her.
Like, I mean, girl, and weren't you in your own gay marriage the whole time you were married to Chris? So, like, how are you even judging? Like, get the fuck on. But anyway.
So, yeah, I don't have one.
Okay.
And I looked through the past 3 Gmail. Most of those are old.
Oh, wow.
I figured because we haven't done
we haven't passed the read in
we
months.
We haven't passed the read in months, and it's usually because we've had so many people to cuss out week by week by week.
That's true.
So, I mean, you can definitely send us emails to pasttheread@gmail.com if you have something
we should pick that
you
up
want
again.
To do. Yeah, because I don't
start doing that more often.
I think that maybe a lot of people don't know or they forgot or whatever.
It's probably been a year since we've done that, honestly. So, all right, yeah, pasttheread@gmail.com if you have a read you want us to do.
So, yeah. I don't know, man. I don't even like this episode, honestly. And it's not like that doesn't need to be taken out. I'm just not like, I don't know. I kind of feel like I'm at wit's end. I went to the doctor, right? And they did all these things. You know, I like last week I struggled to get the episode was late because I was in pain and all that bullshit. And I went to the doctor. I actually had to spend the night in the emergency room because the pain was so bad this past weekend and all that stuff. And so, you know, I had a CAT scan, X-ray, every blood test, Bible study, everything you could think of. And they were just like, everything's fine. We don't see anything wrong with you. So I saw this black lady doctor yesterday and she like went over all of my stuff with me. And she was like, it seems like you have a mixture of a really poor diet, which I believe because I haven't been drinking much water or like eating green things, mm-hmm. Or things that are like not fried. But she said you are probably, because you know, I don't know if they do this at a lot of other places, but every time I've been to the doctor here, they always give you a form that asks you about like your mental health. Mm-hmm. Like they'll ask you like, do you like fidget a lot or do you have problems like speaking to people? Do you think you'd be better off dead? Do you have issues getting work done or focusing and all of those things? And then it'll be like, strongly agree, strongly disagree, blah, 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 all that stuff. And so I filled it out honestly. And when I saw the doctor, she was like, well, your chart here, your blood, everything seems to be fine. Your organs are working. You don't have any holes in your intestines or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But you clearly are struggling with like stress and anxiety and depression. And so then she started asking me about this, like the part on there about like suicide and all of that stuff. And I was like, you know, I struggled with that more when I was younger, like when I was a teenager. Now it just kind of like is something when I'm like really, really frustrated. It'll just be like, oh my God, if I just jump in front of the 2 train, it'll be fine. Like, oh God, you know, and then, you know, I work through it. But I don't know. I know that I'm stressed out because like I have such an immense pressure on me all the time, I feel like. And I don't think anybody is creating it but me, but I always feel this pressure to perform to the best of my ability and keep everybody happy and update YouTube when I can, even though I hardly ever have time for that. And like, then it's like this Halloween party and I have to get flyers and things done for that and figure out where it's going to be and all of this stuff. And then we have to go fly. And then I'm like, you know, my grandmother is sick and like I want to go home and I can't. And then we have to go to London tomorrow and I'm afraid to fly and I'm aching. And like, it's just, it's too much, you know? And so I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't even know why I'm saying this, but I'm struggling, I think, day by day too. Keep it together because I feel like maybe, I don't know. I feel like if I'm going to end up being my own downfall because I can't like get my head together sometimes and it's frustrating. But it was very interesting to me that she was like, you have to, she said, drink some ginger tea, which I thought was hilarious because that's what my grandmother would say. And she, you know, so
it's okay. You know, life is a lot sometimes.
It's crazy because I was thinking on the train over here that like being introverted, and someone sent a question into the inbox about me being an introvert too, which we'll get to some other time, but like I think I understand why so many people are willfully ignorant and it frustrates the fuck out of me. And it's always like people who just choose to like ignore like their responsibilities or like human life, you know, like people who like Donald Trump's dumb old cheddar cheese face ass talking about the Black Lives Movement is trouble and they're looking for trouble. Like you have people who are dying out in the street and like crying about it and you know what it's based off of. You're not that dumb, you know, and I understand, I think, why people, because like life in itself is so difficult and I'm only 27 years old and I feel like being introverted, I'm always in my head and I always think about every single thing that I do, that people do, why it's done. Why do white people say all lives matter instead of Black Lives Matter? Like why you know, why is it so hard for me to focus? Why the fuck? Like everything, like every single day, I'm always questioning things and getting frustrated, whether it has to do with my life or another life. And it's just kind of like, fuck. Like sometimes I want to be able to like change the world or at least just make people laugh their way through the bullshit. And so I don't know if that's why I have like a weight on my back or whatever, but I really just want like for people to be happy. You know, and I think that that's why I do this, because it's not even about me. Anyway, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just like really, yeah, I'm trying my best to figure it out, but it's rough.
Okay.
So, anyway, not to end it on a very...
Well, I'm here for you. You know, we'll talk later, but I think it's important when you're feeling like that to say something, because every time you do, we get so many letters from people who are like, I just thank Kid Fury so much for being open about his struggles with mental illness, because, you know, I'm dealing with the same thing and it's hard for me. So anytime you feel like, you know, you want to talk about it, I think it's good that you do.
Well, you know, this is not what this is for. Like, this show is supposed to be released. It's supposed to be something like that people come to and laugh and maybe learn or whatever. And I don't even, like, nobody needs all of that. I don't even know. Like, I just, the only reason I'm saying it now is because I'm dissatisfied with the shit today.
Okay.
And the only reason I'm dissatisfied with it is because I know that I'm sad and I couldn't do it the way that I wanted to. So.
Okay. I mean, and that's true. Like, people do come to the show to laugh, but the show has also always been real. And so we just had to have a real moment about it.
Oh, God. We're going to have to cut all this shit out, because I do not need that kind. Anyway. So the London is tomorrow.
Yeah, it is.
London is Saturday, but we're leaving tomorrow. Yes. Yes. So we leave tomorrow night, but we get to London on...
We are headed out to London tomorrow, and we will see you guys on Saturday. We're very excited about that, our first show in Europe. And to, you know, stick around and hang out in Europe for a little while. So we're just, I don't know, just super hype. I can't wait.
Yes, it should be quite interesting and very far.
It'll be okay. Like, you'll be all right on the plane, I promise.
Yeah.
I'm going to be right there, so.
Do we have anything else?
Let's see. Check out the website, thisistheread.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at thisistheread. And do we have, I don't think I have any announcements this week, so do you? Congratulations again to Ariel and Q. The wedding was beautiful, and y'all are gorgeous and perfect, so.
No, I feel like I did, but I can't really remember. Happy birthday to my friend Terrence, or happy belated.
All right, well, in that case, we will see y'all next week.
All right, bye.